Are you a gig worker or self-employed? Womply has helped over 100,000 small businesses get a PPP loan. You may qualify for up to $41,000 in 100% forgivable loans. The program ends soon and funds are limited. Apply now at womply.com/apply. That's womply.com/apply.
If you're looking for something different to read or to follow, you've got to follow the writings of Will Hart. He's a fascinating guy, a writer and photographer who has done a lot of terrific work and has been searching for years for how life originated on Earth and what our human heritage and identity truly is. And I am thrilled that he has agreed to stay up with me on the radio a little bit this morning. Will, thanks so much for joining me on the radio. I'm a big fan of your work.
Well, thanks a lot.
As I mentioned, you're a journalist, you've been a nature photographer, you've been a filmmaker, and you've been an author. What exactly sparked your interest in how human life on this planet began? And how did you get involved in following all this stuff that you write about and that you make films about?
Very good question. And I don't usually get asked that one because I'll tell you the truth. I happened to be in Europe in the late 1960s and was out one evening. And my goodness, here comes something I can't identify in the sky. And I was with a friend who believed in nothing and saw the same thing and was shocked. I was shocked, sort of, but I could accept it. That started the whole process for me, and it just triggered me to start asking questions. And of course, the questions just got bigger and bigger. And that was 1968. Early in 1970, I got Eric von Däniken's book. I consider him the pioneer in this field. And you know, he put it in a format, in a context, in a way that I hadn't really thought of. Nobody had at that time, and it just kept snowballing from there and got more and more interesting. And I gathered more evidence and then I began writing. That's how the whole thing got started. My own UFO experience. And I'll tell you, it's only happened to me a few times. And the last one was about 4 years ago. It's not like I go out and see UFOs all the time. I don't. In 50 years, I've seen three. And people, people say, well, why haven't I seen one? Well, if you live in a city, think about it. You live in a city, you're very unlikely to see one because you can barely see the stars from most cities. There's so much light. And how often do you get out in the countryside and stargaze? I mean, just look up in the sky. You could be out and just doing your thing and something might go overhead. You might not ever notice it.
Right.
People think that they should see one, but if you really think of the details of the situation, no, not really. You just don't have that much opportunity. And they're all over the place, but it's not like airplanes flying around.
Now, Will, I can understand the interest in UFOs. Even the Pentagon is now acknowledging that videos that people have shot of UFOs are genuine. And they're acknowledging that some video that naval pilots and other military officials have shot that look like UFOs, they've acknowledged those are genuine. When it comes to the subject of human ancestry and what ancient aliens may have done in terms of playing a role in our own human ancestry and our own evolution, that's sort of not necessarily a next logical step. What can you tell us about your work into alien ancestry? How did you get started in that area, I guess, as even after a UFO sighting? I'm curious how that is the next leap that gets made.
Well, it was really Eric von Däniken's first book, Chariots of the Gods, that got me on that track. And then by the mid-70s, I was so fascinated that I decided to do my own field research. And I spent a year traveling around Mexico to all of the major and a lot of minor archaeological sites. And to be honest, most of them I could see where, no, human beings probably did this. There were many that were still incredible, but let's face it, our ancestors could do some incredible things. But there were some, and especially Teotihuacan, which is about an hour outside of Mexico City. That was the last one I visited, and when I went there, I was utterly astonished, and I could sense something about it that just did not feel like people could create this. It's a massive site. And there are three pyramids arranged much like the pyramids are in Egypt. At Giza, there are three major pyramids, and they're spaced the same way, the same alignment. And once I saw that, I realized this is what really grabs a hold of my attention. And then the whole issue, even beyond that, is when you dig into human evolution and human history, you realize that our ancestors agreed many of the early cultures and civilizations, like the Sumerian, the Egyptian, the Aztecs, and so on, talked about gods coming to the earth. And even in the Bible, what does it say? It says Elohim. It doesn't say God Jehovah. Elohim is the ancient Hebrew word for gods, and not just God. Created man, we created man in our image and likeness. Well, that's, to me, pretty plain. And then when you look into genetics, you find there's a lot of fascinating differences between humanity and the great apes. I mean, we're a very different kind of creature. Now, we can go to that, or we can go to any other. You know, we can go look at things like the Great Pyramid, there's 116 pyramids in Egypt. And we only focused on a few of them, but there are that many there. And the ancient Egyptians had very primitive tools that couldn't possibly create these stones. You can't drag a 100-ton stone. I don't care how many people you have. You can't lift it up. How are you going to lift it and build a structure that's 48 stories tall and stood as the tallest structure on the planet for until over 4,000 years? Well, it doesn't make any sense. How did our ancestors 5,000 years ago build something we probably couldn't duplicate with all of our technology today?
Do you have a theory as to what the purpose of something like the ancient pyramids in say Giza in Egypt might have been?
Sure, I have a theory. The problem is we can't prove it because we can't really build it, and we wouldn't see the purpose for it. Chris Dunn, who was an aerospace engineer, came up with a theory called the Giza power plant, and he basically showed that it was some kind of a power generating plant. And I tend to agree with that, because to think that it was a tomb makes no sense at all. It would be the most overbuilt tomb you could ever conceive of, you know, with weighing 5 or 6 million tons, millions of stones arranged in a perfect pyramidal shape. There's so much about the pyramid that people don't think of. And because it's not just the size, it's not just all the blocks and all that stuff. It's the precision of the architecture and engineering that makes it so impossible for people 5,000 years ago to have achieved. And the problem we have with our history, and this is where we really get into the nitty-gritty of the situation, historians won't consider the possibility that an off-planet race could have built it. It just doesn't fit in to the model. They only think, well, humans did it. Well, since the Egyptians were, they must have done it, because they don't consider an alternative. But scientifically, and we have to be scientific about it, you have to ask the question. Most engineers who look at it do not think that the Egyptians could possibly have built it, physicists and so on. Like I said, it's too precisely built, and I doubt we could build it today. What are we left with? Can we prove that another race did it? No, not really. But we can infer it. And science infers a lot of things. You know about dark matter.
Well,
that was a huge revelation that astronomers came up with. We don't understand, even today, 95% of what's out there in the universe.
Well, when we see UFO sightings and we hear reports of extraterrestrials, you believe that there's a good chance that species could actually be our ancestors.
Yeah, let's think about it. Let's tie some things together. Let's go back to the 1940s in New Mexico. What happened in the 1940s in New Mexico? Because that's where the sightings started. The first mass sighting
occurred.
Yeah, in Roswell. There were several others. One of them was Aztec, which is even more profound than Roswell, but never got the press. But they started, what happened in northern New Mexico? Alamos Lab, the Manhattan Project, As soon as we fiddled around with nuclear energy, that's when they showed up. And they showed up right where it was done. And what was Roswell? That was the 509th, the air command that delivered the atomic bomb to Japan. That's what Roswell was. It was the home base of the atomic bombs. So a lot of times people don't make all these different connections. And we know, and, you know, commanders of bases have proven it, have shown that UFOs have demonstrated to the military they can shut down our nuclear facilities anytime they want to. They have shut them down. So it began there, and it actually began with an incident over Los Angeles called the Battle of L.A., in which over Santa Monica, a UFO hovered for about a half hour. And this was during World War II. So, of course, they thought it was a Japanese attack on Los Angeles. And they called out an artillery battery to, you know, blow the thing out of the air because it was just sitting there. Well, they pelted it with artillery for a half hour. The shells back to the ground, they came back to the ground. They were all over the beaches the next day. Tens of thousands of people witnessed this event. It was front page news in the LA Times the next day. That was actually the first major UFO sighting event documented by the military. The problem was there was no history of UFO sightings. There were no investigators, no organizations that kept happening. So it was just forgotten. And that's actually what happened with Roswell at that time, too. It was just forgotten because, same thing, there was nobody to investigate it.
In terms of your book, which I do recommend if people are interested in this subject, you indicate that you think that the extraterrestrial intelligence that might have been responsible for some of these ancient wonders that you've cited and which could be the ancestors of those with Rh negative blood, you indicate that you think they may still be playing a role in terms of influencing events on Earth. Is that primarily manifested through dealings around nuclear bases and things of that sort, or is there more than that?
Part of this is conjecture. I would say that their role changed from progenitors. They don't exactly, ultimately, and I happen to be a person of faith, a god, however you want to define that term, because it's a very loaded term, some supreme intelligence created the universe, but it remains a mystery. Okay, now we come down to our level. Some other civilization that was human-like or very close to us with the type we have their DNA to a degree. We're not totally the same. To a degree, we have their DNA already evolved because the universe is billions of years old, 15 billion. It might be older than that. If it's 15 billion, Earth didn't start evolving. Earth wasn't here. Now it's been 4 billion years. So other civilizations could have advanced billions of years before us. And what they would be like, we can't possibly imagine what they're really like and how much, you know, knowledge and power they have. But it's possible we're living in their solar system, in their galaxy. They could have reached a point, which is what we'll try to do eventually. And we're at a very primitive level now. We're going to try to harness the energy of the sun. We're going to try to understand all the dynamics. And we're already on the path that they took of exploring space and so on. And we did it pretty quickly once we got the right technology. And now we're moving very fast with all of this, especially with artificial intelligence, because we don't know what it is. People say, well, look, if these aliens are really out there, why don't they just land on the White House lawn? Well, folks, if you've studied the history of UFOs, you'll realize they buzzed the White House in 1952, two successive weekends, and we dispatched jets to chase them, and they couldn't catch them. And everybody in Washington saw it and didn't know what to make out of it. So they have done that. They've made themselves very well known. But the problem now is we're not the ones in control, and we don't like that. We don't like that thought. We like the thought that we're in control of the planet. We don't like the thought that somebody's above us in this scheme of things. So that's a psychological adjustment we've got to make.
Mr. Hart, we're going to have to leave it there, actually. We're just about out of time, but I hope you'll come back soon. And definitely I'll encourage everybody that's interested in this subject to check out your book, Ancient Alien Ancestors, Advanced Technologies That Terraformed Our World.